knew it, I was falling out of the portal, crashing into soft moss below. I stood up, brushed off my clothes, gathered my dignity, and looked around. Wherever Nathaniel had sent me appeared pretty primeval. I was in a lush forest, surrounded by ferns and moss and broad-leafed trees. Candy-colored flowers bloomed everywhere I looked. A little waterfall trickled over rocks and into a slender stream to my left. It was a completely alien world, as far from my urban jungle as I was likely to get. My legs felt suddenly shaky, the after-effects of the appearance of the retrievers hitting my system. I sat down on the moss and took stock. I was alone in a strange world with no food or water. I had my sword and my clothes on my back, and my last friend in the world might be slaughtered by the agency's boogeyman for helping me escape. No, I couldn't think that way. Nathaniel was powerful, even more so now that he had come into his legacy from Puck. I had to believe that he would be able to defend himself. I had to believe, too, that the retrievers would ultimately leave him alone. Everything I knew about the retrievers said that they were like attack dogs that went after a specific target. Kind of like the Hound of the Hunt, I thought. So chances were very good that Nathaniel would be ignored since they weren't after him. But if he picked a fight with them, put himself in their way... Every instinct I had told me to open another portal, go back home, and fight until the retrievers were destroyed. I am not a runner. It is not in my nature to leave a fight. But JB didn't seem to think I would have a chance against the retrievers, and JB understood pretty well what I could do. Did that mean the retrievers were more powerful than Lucifer? Than Puck or Alarion? And speaking of Alarion, what were his intentions now that he had risen from his long sleep? I rubbed my forehead. There were too many problems. I could solve none of them from here, wherever here was. The first thing I needed to do was find some food and a safe place to sleep for a while. I'd had no rest except for a catnap in the backyard after I'd fetched Evangeline from the dead world for Lucifer. I couldn't remember the last time I ate. Nathaniel and I were on our way to make pancakes when the retrievers had arrived. Pancakes! I could go for a giant stack of them right now. Too bad there wasn't a handy pancake tree. I was going to have to forage for food. If Beezor were with me, he would laugh his little gargoyle butt off at the idea of me foraging. When I was young, I tried camping in the backyard once. I found an old tent in the basement and got an idea in my head that I would have an adventure. Of course, I'd thought that backyard tenting experience would be a stepping stone to an adulthood where I would travel the world with nothing but a backpack, sleeping on the ground in the Andes and the Pyrenees and wherever else my feet would take me. I didn't even last the night. The rats scurrying through the yard from the alley kept me up for hours. In the darkness, my mind magnified the rodents to dog size. Around midnight, I gave up and trudged inside the house. Beezle was snoring on the banister when I entered. He opened his eyes just long enough to say, "I told you so," before closing them again. And that was the end of my camping adventure. I felt a little pang thinking of Beezle, and resolutely put it aside. Beezle had always been a constant in my life. But he had chosen to leave. Dwelling on it now wouldn't help me survive. So I stood up for a second time. I pulled my sword out and glanced around the sky. The sun was hidden by a canopy of leaves. There was no guarantee that the sun here moved the same way as the sun did at home, in any case. I wasn't sure where I was, but it didn't feel like I was in my own solar system, or even my own galaxy, for that matter. I started walking in the direction I faced, following the meandering path of the stream. As I walked, I made a small hash mark on every third tree or so, thinking it would make it easier to tell if I got lost and started walking in circles. Insects buzzed in the trees and grass, keeping up a continuous cicada-like noise. Some of the insects flew from tree to tree or flower to flower. They were disconcertingly large. I saw a beetle-type bug with an iridescent green shell that was the size of my hand. Butterflies as big as Chicago pigeons flapped around my head. I didn't see any mammals. As I walked along, the stream broadened and I saw some fat amphibians hopping from rocks into the water. The occasional silver flash of a fish darted under the surface. I wondered if I dared drink some of the water from the stream. There was a risk that it was contaminated with alien bacteria that could kill me. I didn't have any purifying tablets handy. Starting a fire wasn't a problem, but I wasn't carrying a container in which to boil the water. I was thirsty, but I wasn't at a point of desperation.